plunged the whole world into an economic quagmire. Mr. Morgenthau is not alone, however, in thus compromising himself with his own principles. Mr. Bernard Baruch, well-known advisor of presidents, has also been at one and the same time a one-worlder and an implacable advocate of converting Germany into a poorhouse. As the war was drawing to its close in the European theater, Mr. Baruch, who loves to address his audiences as fellow citizens of the world, was in London, where he granted an interview to A. Victor Lasky, a Stars and Stripes staff officer. In explaining his presence in the British capital, Baruch said, according to Lasky, "And one reason I'm over here is to hold a big stick over the big boys to make damn sure they're not going to foul up the peace. We've got to deindustrialize Germany and Japan for at least a generation to see that those subsidized slave labor countries do not again flood the world with their cheap products." This was Mr. Baruch's way of saying that he was abroad to see to it that Germany was permanently eliminated as a competitor in world trade. Baruch failed to explain the nature of the big stick he was holding over the big boys, but the following June, before the Senate Military Affairs Committee, he made very clear what he wanted done with the Reich. He said it was not enough merely to demand an economically weak Germany, that the program of weakening Germany must be sufficiently specific, industry by industry, so that all the occupying nations know they have agreed to the same thing. First of all, he said, reparations should be paid in German labor instead of rebuilding the country's industry so it could pay reparations through exports from current production. Germany's war-making potential must be eliminated. Many of her plans must be shifted east and west to friendly countries. All heavy industries destroyed, the Junker estates broken up, her exports strictly controlled, German assets and business organizations all over the world rooted out. Now, I must add here, even though if it grates on you, the listener and the viewer, Baruch is a Jew. He was once known as the King of the Jews. He was in charge of the War Production Board, I believe, already in the First World War. He was part of the kind of disastrous policy makings and these huge reparations demanded of the Weimar Republic after the Versailles Treaty. That was before Hitler. That was before Nazis. The Kaiser was pro-Jewish, surrounded by Jews. The German government was very much pro-Jewish under Kaiser Wilhelm II. So this is nothing to do with anti-Semitism of the Nazi kind. I am saying to you, it has something to do with anti-Germanism of the Jewish kind. Because what drove these people on to be so ruthless to those Germans when Hitler was not even known of or heard of? So what we are looking at here is Jewish anti-German hatred coming out for all to see. Now it is against allegedly Hitler and what Nazis did, but what was going on in 1920, 1919, 20, 21, 23, 25, 28, before Hitler ever formed a government, when it was never even known that he was ever going to amount to more than a little hick politician somewhere? I think the people of the world ought to ask themselves this question. Now let's get back to Mr. Baruch. This program of impoverishment and that of Mr. Morgenthau are, of course, very similar. They should be. They're both Jews. Mr. Baruch candidly admits that his aim is to destroy Germany as a trade competitor. Mr. Morgenthau's program tacitly contains the same objective. People were appalled when it was said that the elder Rockefeller burned down the refineries of competitors he could not otherwise destroy. How about that? The elder Rockefeller, well known in American history, burned down the refineries of competitors he could not otherwise destroy. How much more revolting are these proposals to destroy the economy of a whole nation for a similar purpose? Conservative leaders who use their influence in this manner furnish a basis for effective criticism of capitalistic morality or lack of it. and weaken the basis for defense of the profit system, since according to the one world thesis, prosperity must be shared by all, if any are to enjoy it, and all must share in it, or in time we all will lose it. The Morgenthau-Baruch plan would impoverish not only Germany, but Europe and the whole world, not excluding the United States, and therefore presumably Messrs. Baruch and Morgenthau as well. The Morgenthau-Baruch proposals have been the official policy of our government. An American writer writing in 1947 in an American book, this book says that the Morgenthau, a Jew, Baruch, a Jew, proposals have been the official policies of our government, which at the same time is committed to one world principles. As a result, our leading officials in their efforts to uphold these mutually exclusive theories have been forced, like Mr. Morgenthau, into absurd self-contradiction. For example, Mr. Truman, while advocating impoverishment of Germany along Morgenthau-Baruch lines, said at Soldiers Field in Chicago, quote, "We shall work to achieve equal opportunity in world trade between because closed economic blocks in Europe or any place in the world can only lead to impoverishment and isolation of people who inhabit it. We shall press for the elimination of artificial barriers to international navigation in order that no nation, by accident of geographic location, shall be denied unrestricted access to the sea ports and international waterways." Later, he said in the same speech, "Economic distress anywhere in the world is a fertile breeding ground for violent political upheaval." Now, the problem with modern American presidents and Western German presidents and so on is that none of these guys write their own speeches. You know that.